to 21. Similar to what we just read in 16:2, I want you to look at the second half of the verse, though. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. You find this in several places throughout the Proverbs. The Lord weighs the hearts. That is to say, God is omniscient. God knows us altogether. He knows our motives. He knows our fears. He knows all about us. He's able to cut through all of the fog and all of the pretense to what is real. And because God knows us altogether, and therefore He is able to make accurate judgments about us, we can trust Him to tell us the truth. We can trust Him to be the one to lead us and to guide us. Because, you know, as I used to say to myself, you know, I was one of the best con artists on the block in the neighborhood where I lived, in the slum areas where I grew up in Boston. And I said I had a pretty good front, you know, a facade. And I sort of conned and thinking I was a pretty good kid when I was a rotten kid. and the Bible, God knows our hearts. No matter what our surface may appear, no matter what our facade may be, God knows our hearts, and He weighs our hearts. He really does know us. And so if you're going to trust someone to guide you, let it be the one who knows you best. That's one of the reasons why, in a human sense, we're wise to go to Christian friends who know us well. Because they've been with us for a while, they've seen us, they've talked with us, they have some sense of what it is that makes us tick. And so when we get advice from them, there's a context out of which the advice is given. And we can tend to trust that kind of advice if we know them well enough and their motives are pure enough. We can tend to trust their judgment because they have that background understanding of us. But if we tend to trust our good friends because of that kind of consideration, why wouldn't we trust God, who knows us altogether? And that's the point that's being made here, that He weighs the hearts. He does know us all together. Well, there is a way that God not only knows us, but helps us know ourselves. Proverbs chapter 20, just across the page. Proverbs 20 and 27. The spirit of a man, by the way, the word spirit simply means my conscious self. Spirit means my conscious self, okay? The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. Your conscious mind is, if you will, what God uses to do the inspection work. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Now, you say, well, does that mean that I have only to trust in my own mind, my own conscious thinking, in order to know what's deepest down in my own heart? Well, we know that we can sometimes be honest with God and sometimes be honest with ourselves. And even if nobody else knows, we know. And in our private moments, we acknowledge the fact of the truth of who we are. But even in our private moments, when we're being honest, because we know more than others do about ourselves, and we're trying to confess that this is the kind of person that we are, even then we sugarcoat. Even then we excuse. Even then, we rationalize. And knowing ourselves as well as we do, we still like ourselves an awful lot. And we don't want to be criticized. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in connection with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See, God also has a spirit. His name is the Holy Spirit. He doesn't have a spirit. He has a third person of the Godhead who's called the Holy Spirit. God is a spirit being. But there is a distinctive person of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit. And through this person, called the Holy Spirit, God searches our hearts and our minds and our motives. And guess where the Holy Spirit lives, if you're a believer? Right inside you. And so we have, if you will, the searchlight of God living right inside us. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We trust God because He knows us all together. How does He know us all together? Because He causes us to see ourselves as He sees us when we're willing to let Him do so through His Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. See ourselves as He sees us when we allow Him to do so. When we allow Him to turn the searchlight of His Holy Spirit and His Holy Spirit's view of us back on ourselves. 2:10 and 11. But God has revealed the things that are, it says in the previous verse, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That is to say, there are plans that God has for each one of us that are stated in principle form in his word. It says, verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. That is, he has purposes for us, he has plans for us, he has a will for us, and he has revealed them to us through his Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now I want you to look at the juxtaposition of this with the passage that we just looked at a moment ago in 20:27 of Proverbs, which says the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. There are two things being searched. One is me. And I've got a conscious capacity for looking at myself, Proverbs 20:27. But the Holy Spirit goes beyond just looking at me to reflecting upon the consciousness of God himself, the deep things of God. So he's not only looking at us, but he is reflecting as well upon his own purposes and his own will for our lives. Our desires, our motives, our will, but then God's purposes, his desires, and his will. All of those come together. When the Holy Spirit is examining us, he knows us and he knows God, because he is God. And so the one who's examining us is the one who was able to provide the proper context for making a judgment call about who we are and what we should be doing and all of that. God does give us then self-awareness through our own spirit, but we really get spiritual self-awareness when his Holy Spirit is allowed to do his work of examining us. That's one of the things, by the way, one of the things, if you take communion, whenever you take communion, you know in 1 Corinthians 11, it tells us that it says, let a person examine himself or herself and then eat. What does that mean? Does that mean I take stock and I take inventory? Well, yes. You're supposed to see if there's anything that needs confessing, and you should confess it. You don't want anything there to be between you and God while you're participating in that memorial service. But you're not just to be examining yourself, you're to ask God to examine you. You say, let a man examine himself. What you're saying is, Holy Spirit, show me. Show me the things that I need to see about me. And there are things that I may have just, you know, pushed back and pushed down that I'm not willing to look at, or I've just shoved aside because they're too unpleasant to look at. And he'll bring them, if you allow him to and ask him to, he'll bring them to your attention. Examine me. David says, search my heart, O God, and show me anything that is wicked within me. Well, Luke, the Lord Jesus himself has something to say about this. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Talking to the Pharisees, those who were greatly capable of justification for all of their behavior and all of their actions. Verse 15 of chapter 16 of Luke. Luke 16, 15. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men. I mean, you make a very good story about yourselves, and you preach it by your words, by your behavior, by your self-righteousness. But God knows your hearts, Jesus says. But God knows your hearts. That one phrase. But God knows your hearts. The Holy Spirit of God knows us altogether, dwells within us if we're children of God, shows us, if we ask him to, the truth about ourselves that needs to be dealt with. And so when we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, what we really want to do is to trust his judgment call about us. Judgment calls about us. We want to trust his analysis of what we truly need, and not simply to come to him and ask him to baptize what it is we want. I mean, those are the gimme prayers, right? Give me this, give me that, and Lord, please say yes to what I've already decided. Turn to Proverbs 22. In addition to the Holy Spirit, of course, we have the Word of God. Proverbs 22. How do you find out God's will for your life? How do you find out what the way is in which we should walk? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct your paths. How does he direct? He directs us through his Spirit as he shines his light upon our lives. But also the Holy Spirit shines his light on something else. The Holy Spirit shines his light on the Word of God. Jesus tells us, and I want to have you turn there in John chapter 14, that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth. So that he is the author of truth. And therefore, he's going to show us from the Word of God the things that are applicable to our lives. So chapter 22 of Proverbs, starting in verse 17, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge." That's Proverbs 22, starting in verse 17. "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge," God speaking, "for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips." Here it comes, verse 19. "So that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you." And he goes on and says, "Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge?" What God is saying is, I've told you. You don't have to guess. It's not a mystery. What my will is in those broad, general, principle terms, I've given them to you. And that's why I'm instructing you. And that's why I've given you my word. So that you'll have that floodlight of the principles, of the truth, of my revelation to shine upon your lives. And the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict us of the things that we need convicting of. So he does it through our own conscience, but our own conscience has something to feed upon, and it isn't just our own evaluation of ourselves, it is God's evaluation of us, and God's evaluation of us is given us in his Word, is given us in principles in his Word. That's the truth. I think that both, unless we really are believing our own con and believing our own story, in the end, if we're honest, we know that we've blown it deliberately. I say there is no such thing as an accidental sin. We always do it on purpose. Well, we read in Proverbs 30, next to the last proverb, Proverbs 30, and verse 5, we're going to have to close. Here it comes, Proverbs 35. "Every word of God is pure and right and truthful." Every word of God is pure. "He is a shield to those who put their trust in him." Not only does he direct you and give you wisdom and guidance, he protects you. Because there is nothing like the shield of faith held up, as we read in the New Testament. When God's Word is applied to our lives and we're able to trust him because we have been walking in accordance with that revealed Word, he provides a shield, a protection for our lives when we follow him, when we entrust ourselves to him in accordance with his Word. I want you to turn to the New Testament, to a passage with which we want to close. So what's the answer? First Peter. Trust God. 1 Peter, one of the other verses that I learned and memorized and tried to apply to my life as a young Christian, is this one. If you don't memorize Scripture as a habit, please start the habit. It's never too old to start memorizing. And even if you haven't done it for a while, do it. Because you can still do it. The Holy Spirit will help you, by the way, in this process of memorizing God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll put it in context and start in verse 6, but I'm looking at verse 7. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Yield to his leadership and his lordship in your life, that he may exalt you in due time." Here it comes, verse 7. "Casting all your care upon him." That's really trusting. Putting it all into his lap. "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." By the way, I want to pause just for a moment in closing with this verse to say that this verse is a verb of action. Now, we're not just contemplating here, we're doing something. And what is it that we're doing? We're taking all the things that we've been carrying and that we've been trying to figure out and that we've been trying to manipulate in our own lives in order to do what we think is right. We take all of those anxieties like a ball, and we hurl them at the Lord. "Here, it's yours, Lord." Some of you know a lady by the name of Vera Ford. Vera Ford is a lady who was responsible for bringing many people to come to know the Lord and to come to Prestonwood and to be exposed to the gospel. And she used to send me little notes and of encouragement. I love it when people send you notes of encouragement. But on the outside of her notepad was a phrase. And Vera Ford's a phrase was, or it wasn't her phrase, but it was on the outside of her notepad, was, "Don't worry about talking to God at night he's up anyway. I loved it. You know, you're not going to bother him. Hurling all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Well, the word for care means anxiety. Those are the things that we worry about and fuss about, and we just don't know what's going to happen. And so we fume and we worry instead of trusting. But you know, the Greek of the text says, for he cares for you. There's a very powerful meaning to the verb. Here's the literal meaning of the second half of 1 Peter 5:7. Hurling all your anxiety upon him, trusting him. Now here's what it literally says in the second half of the verse. For he cares for you, here it comes. For it matters to him about you. It matters to him about you. He cares for you. You matter to him. You're not an indifferent consideration in the mind of God. You're a priority in the mind and heart of God. It matters to him about you. You're trusting someone who not only knows you altogether, but who cares for you as no other being in the universe could possibly care for you. It matters to him about you. That's why we're safe in trusting the Lord with all of our heart, and why we should not lean unto our own understanding, but in all of our ways, obediently listening to his Spirit, obediently following his word, we should align our lives. In all our ways, acknowledge him. Align our lives with him. And guess what? He shall direct your paths. He'll lead you. And the shield that he'll provide will protect you. Because as you do what's right, then he'll protect you. You may not be protected from all hurts, but you'll be protected from all guilt for knowingly doing the wrong thing. Let's go to the Lord, shall we, in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We recognize the principles contained here are applicable to our daily lives. We know how needful we are to trust. We know how difficult sometimes it is to trust, because somehow we don't think that you have our best interests, which we really are rationalizing to mean our wants, in mind. And yet, Father, we know that you do have our best interests at heart, that therefore when you guide us and direct us with your word, it is because you know what will truly make us fulfilled and happy, and what will truly make us the kinds of persons you've designed us to be. Father, we pray that we'll learn this lesson of not trusting our own judgment, of not trusting ourselves ultimately, but rather to entrust ourselves to you, to cast ourselves as we would hurl a ball, to cast ourselves upon you, because we know you know us, we know you love us, and we know you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. How grateful we are that we have a trustworthy God to trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.